Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, America? Happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday, America, yeah. A little early for this, but I think we can still get it started. Can we get it started?
Yeah. I know y'all getting that barbecue ready. Firing up that grill. Time to talk some sports.
It is talking sports from 12 minutes. Your
time is up. My time is now.
Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. It's a special edition, a special Tuesday night show. Today is Wednesday, July the 3rd, and of course, Today is Tuesday, July the 3rd, and of course, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man, joined by Robert Ford. I am Andre Peterson. We have a lot of incredible topics to talk about, as always. We're going to dive right into it, and I'll check in to Robert, make sure he's doing okay on this happy birthday to America. But first and foremost, we're going to talk about a little NBA draft recap. Obviously, that was last Thursday, so we're excited to talk about a lot of surprises and moves and stuff that you thought were pretty good. There's been a lot of wheeling and dealing in the NBA. Obviously, the big news with Dwight Howard and the Nets and what's going on with that. And I would not be remiss if I did not mention my Atlanta Hawks. We'll talk about the ACC and the Orange Bowl reaching an agreement on a 12-year deal. And, of course, we're going to talk about Drew Brees and him winning the franchise tag grievance against the NFL. But with that being said, Robert Ford, how are you doing today, man? You all right, sir?
Doing great, man. Thank you all for tuning in to a special Tuesday night edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We decided to change our show this week due to the holiday on tomorrow night. So thank you all for adjusting your schedules and tuning in on tonight. And we need to jump right into it, man. You know our time is tight every week.
It is tight. But for those who want to call in, as always, we want to throw out the number for you guys to check in with us and kind of get your thoughts. That number to call toll-free is 424-243-9519. And don't forget also to tweet us at the number 12, M-A-N, 12 Man Sports, obviously at Twitter, and then also follow us on Facebook. So a lot of things going on, sir. Let's talk real quick about the NBA draft recaps. Obviously, your Hornets doing it big. Obviously, the number one pick, we know that was going to Anthony Davis, and they picked up Austin Rivers with that 10th pick. So I want to get your thoughts on that. And any surprises, and I got a quick surprise number four with Cleveland taking Deion Waiters. But let's talk about your Hornets and how you think they did in the draft.
Oh, I think, based on where the Hornets were picking, 1, 10, and 46, I mean, I think the Hornets did an outstanding job. And, I'm not trying to be biased on this, but obviously I think the Hornets had the best draft. And Anthony Davis getting Austin Rivers at number 10. And I think an absolute steal at 46 was getting Darius Miller. You're getting a wing player who can play both the wing positions, small forward, shooting guard. You know, kind of player that's going to come off the bench for you in the NBA, solid role player for you. Not going to be a superstar starter. But I think he's a good player to have on your team. And I think that's what you're looking for in second-round draft picks. You're looking for guys that can come in and make your roster and be a contributor, you know. And, second-round picks are not guaranteed to make rosters, and they don't get guaranteed contracts. So you're looking for guys that can come in and make your roster, or you're looking for a European player that maybe needs a little bit more development that you can stash away overseas. And so I think in the Hornets' case, you got a player that can come in and help your team out right away off the bench next season, which is great. So clearly, I think the Hornets definitely had the best draft, and I like what a couple other teams did. I kind of like what Cleveland did. I know it may be a slight reach getting Deion Waiters at number 4, and then you get Tyler Zeller in the trade with the Mavericks. You get him at 17. I like that. You got a couple of players that can come in and help your ball club right away. In the Zeller's case, even though they pick Waiters first, I think Zeller is probably the one that's more ready to play, but Waiters has the most potential long-term. So you're getting a guard that can possibly play with Kyle Lowry for the future, and then you're getting a center who's not going to be a superstar, but you're getting a guy that can probably start at the center position for 10 to 12 years to come in the NBA. And I think Thomas Robinson, Sacramento, getting him at number 5 was a great pick for the Kings. I think you pair him up with DeMarcus Cousins, and they have a lot of good wing players. I think they have to be thrilled by having him to fall to them at number 5. The head-scratcher pick for me is Didn't know what the Charlotte Bobcats were doing there. They surprised everyone by taking Kid Gilchrist at number two. Seems to me that they probably still should have took Bradley Beal, and they just would have just had a lot more trade bait, a lot more trade offers even after the draft if they would have took Bradley Beal. But, you know, but I think the Hornets definitely had the best draft. I like what Cleveland did as well. And Sacramento, of course, got the luck of the draw, you know, getting Thomas Robinson to fall to them had to be thrilled for them as well.
Yeah, a lot of nice moves, like you said, too. There's a lot of head scratchers. We'll talk about a couple of those picks, too, because, you know, as mentioned, I'm sure, you know, you're looking at, you know, Charlotte, they could have had extra picks, as you mentioned, because a lot of teams are trying to get that number two pick. So, you know, unless, you know, if you thought Kevin Durant was there, I wouldn't have moved, or, I mean, I would have traded down and try to help out that team, because there's a lot of things that Charlotte needs. So that was pretty surprising as well. I think I'm actually surprised, too. I think a lot of good things that a team that did really, really well was Golden State, too. You know, I'm sure they were surprised that Harrison Barnes was sitting right there for them at number seven, too. So they kind of jumped on that pick. And they did some good things getting Draymond Green. And, you know, I'm showing them some love, obviously, at the West Coast. But, you know, definitely a very interesting draft. And there's a couple of head-scratchers as well. And I want to get your thoughts, too, as to why, you know, obviously Houston, they kept all their picks. And I didn't think that was going to happen as well. They made a lot of good picks, picking up Royce White. And, you know, obviously getting Darren Lamb, which is kind of interesting, too, because, you know, I think a lot of teams were thinking that some guys got, you know, Kevin Martin 2.0, but it's very interesting to see what's going on with that, too. And there's a couple people that dropped, too, and I guess if you're looking at a Arnett Moultrie, I want to say, that dropped, and Perry Jones dropped as well. And I want to get your thoughts as far as why do you think those guys slipped, and so obviously I know about Perry Jones and his knee issue, but I'm not sure why Arnett kind of dropped there, too.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I'll talk about Arnett Moultrie first here. The 27th pick, getting picked by Miami, but then Miami trades him to Philadelphia. Actually, I think Arnett Moultrie, I don't know why Miami traded this pick. I think he's the perfect kind of player that could have helped them. They need another guy with size in the paint, and they turn around and trade him. My guess is they probably didn't want to pay another guy a guaranteed contract in the first round, and they wanted to maybe spend that money in free agency. But I think Miami should have kept that pick. He's a guy with size. He's a guy with athleticism that could have helped them get an additional big body, come off the bench, block shots and rebounds. But instead, Miami trades him to Philadelphia. And you got to like what Philly did, actually. We didn't talk about Philadelphia, but, you know,
yeah,
they got
yeah.
Mo Harkless from St. John's. And with that trade, they get Arnett Moultrie, two athletic guys that can help them. You're talking about a team that went to the Eastern Conference semifinals already, and they're going to be able to get two contributors, probably two guys that's going to come off the bench, but it gives them a little bit more depth. It gives them a lot more athleticism. And Mo Harkless is a guy that was climbing draft boards prior to the draft. And Arnett Moultrie, I think, is a real sleeper here. And I think they really helped themselves in this draft as well. Perry Jones III, and I'm glad you brought that up as well, because OKC, I think you got to give them a good grade. And it's, you know, they kind of just sat there at 28, and a guy just fell to him. And I still think you're looking at a guy who's an elite athlete. He's got long arms. He's got a long wingspan. He's 6'11". And you're talking about a team that went to the finals already, even though they lost. But he's definitely a guy that can help them. And now you got a big man rotation of you got Collison already off the bench, and you bring in a Perry Jones who can probably play any of the front court positions from small forward, power forward to center. It just gives their team a lot more versatility, and it makes them even more dangerous next year in the Western Conference. And you know, as we said on our show last week, from everything that I can see right now as of today, I mean, Oklahoma City still looks like the team that's going to be the team that's going to be representing the West in the Western Conference Finals next year, and I think they got a steal with getting Perry Jones at 28.
Yeah, like I said, it's just very good to see. You know, very interesting. Certain teams that draft well and they kind of make some moves too. And that was like you said, OKC has been they've been making a lot of good moves, and you can see the way that they've built their team through the draft. So you know, some teams get lucky. and some teams, they do a lot of good things and make the right moves too. So you got to give them a lot of props in that pick. And real quick, I apologize.
And
whenever Houston put Jeremy Lamb too instead of Darren Lyon, I apologize about that too. But go ahead, sorry, I mean to cut you off.
And another quick note here: the Oklahoma City, they got Serge Ibaka in the latter part of the second round, so kind of right in the same area where they got Ibaka is where they take Perry Jones here. And so if they can get the same kind of production, and Perry Jones could be another shot blocker to that team. I mean, if you can have Perry Jones the third and Serge Ibaka in the game at the same time, I mean, that's an intimidating front line right there for shot blocking. It's going to make guys think twice. They're going to have to do pump fakes a lot to get those guys off their feet, you know, or make them foul them. You know, it's going to make them definitely think and have to concentrate a lot more to get the shots off when you got two athletic big men down there in the paint. So I think that definitely makes their team a lot more dangerous.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, like I said, obviously, you know, we don't have too much time to talk about a lot of good things too, but maybe next week we'll talk about maybe some stuff for some players for next year going into 2013 and maybe some high school guys. But very excited to see what's going on. And I think this has been a very interesting draft. We had a lot of depth. A lot of teams are targeting certain players. Not sure if we have a bona fide superstar like a LeBron James or Durant, as you mentioned, obviously besides Anthony Davis. But like you said, it's going to be very interesting. I think there could be some sleepers in this draft, and we're very excited to see what's going on with you know, a lot of players that drop, and you know, you still don't know what's going to happen too. So it's going to be very interesting to see what goes on.
Yes, yes, it's going to be a lot. I mean, obviously these guys are rookies. A lot of them are 19, 20 years old, so it's going to see how well some of these guys come in and contribute. And so, you know, I think 2-3 years down the line is about the time you really give a real grade on the draft. But on paper, I think we all would have to agree that the Hornets definitely came away with the best draft in this year's draft.
That may be a New Orleans bias right there too. So you know, just hold that.
Oh, it's hands down across America.
Oh man, I love it.
Oh.
Everybody, if you're on your team, you're thinking you did some good things, you know, unless you didn't have like a lot of picks too. So everyone thought their teams had a pretty decent draft, unless you're the Knicks, you're like, who did this guy pick? And the Knicks are always like not sure what certain people pick too. But you know, we'll see what goes down. Obviously, speaking of a lot of things, we're still gonna stay on the NBA front. But for those that want to check in, the number, once again, toll-free is 424-243-9519 on a special Tuesday night edition on Talking Sports for the 12th Man. Real quick, there's been a lot of willing and dealing in the NBA. And sir, if I would have told you, we're going to talk about Dwight Howard too, but if I would have told you that, you know, going into the draft, you know, we were thinking that Josh Smith would have been moved by the Hawks. But if you would have told me that Joe Johnson and Marvin Williams would be traded, I would have thought you were crazy. But that's exactly what's actually going down, and I got to give, you know, I don't care what Danny Ferial does. He is the undisputed executive of the year, and in my eyes, because of the fact that he got rid of a humongous contract, Joe Johnson, didn't think that was ever going to happen, and obviously Marvin Williams did not meet our expectations, and the fact that he got rid of both of these guys for a point guard and Devin Harris, we were just the city of Atlanta is in a state of, you know, euphoria right about now. I mean, some people are a little nervous about how, you know, we may take a step back, but, you know, in the interim, I mean, just an amazing move. Danny Ferry, all kinds of props, and I'm sure this is what's been going on all day, and obviously I got to chime in on this too. So, you know, obviously, Rob, on the outside looking in, you kind of have a different perspective, but I'd love to get your thoughts on this, and I just want to say too, as far as that, I mean, some people, they're not sure if it's a good move. And I think the biggest thing, and this is not a knock on Joe Johnson at all, because obviously I think paired with Darren Williams, if you hear the rumors, and possibly paired with Dwight Howard, this is going to be a dangerous team. And I think the thing that we're upset with Joe is that, as far as, I don't think he was made to be the guy and for what he was getting paid for. So if you're paying him a little bit less, if you're paying him maybe like $5 to $7 million, something like that, I think you'd be happy with him. But the fact that you're paying him so much and he wasn't kind of built to be the Batman, if you will, I think that's why we're kind of happy about this move too. So I'll turn the reins over to you, Rob, and kind of get your thoughts about this dynamic move that's been going on with the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, yes, I think I think you have to give Danny Ferry a lot of credit for what he's done with the Hawks so far since he's taken over here. I know on paper the Hawks are probably going to take a step back next season. At least that's the way it seems right now, unless there's another move or two that's going to happen to get another big-name player there in the next few weeks. But on paper, as you look at it right now, you think about the Atlanta Hawks organization right now, they're the furthest they've been making it to the playoffs about 4 or 5 years in a row now is the second round, and they just can't seem to make that leap. So I think what Danny Ferry is saying here, this is about as far as we're going to go with this current roster. And, you know, sometimes you got to take a step backwards to go forward. And, you know, with the current roster, you're not going to get past the Miami Heat. You know, you've been having trouble getting past the Boston Celtics, even though they're getting aging. And then, you know, the Brooklyn Nets are doing what they're doing. If they're going to get Darren Williams and Dwight Howard, if that takes place, then that's another franchise that's ahead of you. And with a healthy Derrick Rose, the Bulls are already ahead of you. So I think what Danny Ferry is saying is this: hey, Joe Johnson is hurting us with financial flexibility. If we got a guy that can, a team that can take him off our hands, let's move it. Now you open yourself, you have some financial flexibility in your organization. You can either sign a big-time player or make a trade for a big-time player this year, or you save that money for next year's cap, when you have a lot more top-notch free agents that will be available. I mean, as of right now, even though it looks like Dwight Howard may go to Brooklyn, as of right now, next summer, he's a free agent. Next summer, Chris Paul is a free agent. So you have players that will be available in next summer's free agency frenzy. And that's just a few of them. There will be three or four more as well that will be available. So what Danny Ferry is saying, hey, let's take a step backwards. Let's try to rebuild this team to see if we can get a team that can really compete in the Eastern Conference with the likes of the Miami Heat, Chicago Bulls, the Boston Celtics, and possibly even the Brooklyn Nets as of right now. So you got to give them a lot of credit. I mean, the Hawks, as we speak right now, are trying to get into the Dwight Howard sweepstakes. Of course, Dwight Howard is from Atlanta, and he and Josh Smith are really close friends. And so even though he's, you know, still has his heart set on going to Brooklyn, But the Hawks might even have a better package to offer him. Here they're offering Al Horford and a couple other pieces to go to Orlando for Dwight Howard. So we'll have to wait and see. Now, only dilemma is, you know, the Lakers are trying to get in the game with Dwight Howard. The Dallas Mavericks are trying to get in the game. But what's scaring these teams off from pulling the trigger is that Dwight says the only team he will sign a long-term extension with is the Brooklyn Nets. And so that's the only reason why teams like the Lakers, the Hawks, and the Mavericks may be a little gun-shy from pulling the trigger on that trade just for a one-year rental from Dwight Howard. They would have to get some kind of assurance that he would be willing to go play for those teams with a long-term extension before making that kind of trade. And now transitioning from the Atlanta Hawks to the Brooklyn Nets here, and if this trade is able to go down, the Orlando Magic and the Brooklyn Nets are looking for a third team to take on a contract of Chris Humphries here. And so if that takes place, then you're more than likely going to see Dwight Howard end up in Brooklyn where he wants to go. And my question to you is, before we get into some other free agency talk, a team of Darren Williams, Dwight Howard, Gerald Wallace, Joe Johnson, few other role players, does that put them over the hump in the East?
I mean, they're definitely up there. Unfortunately, with the help of Dwight, obviously, I don't think they're a complete team because, as you saw, you know, just because you have certain players, you have to have enough pieces around them. But I definitely think they're definitely in the mix, probably top four, top three. You know, like you said, it's going to be interesting, too. And it's been interesting that you hear, like, a lot of talk with Mr. Howard. And sometimes there's a proverb that says, be careful what you wish for because you may get it. And I know a lot of fans in Atlanta may want Dwight Howard, but if he doesn't want to be here, you know what, I don't want him here. You know, so I know that kind of sounds weird. But, you know, go to Brooklyn, do your thing. This is very interesting, too, because I know even something that Larry Bird was talking about, a lot of players chasing championships too, and that's the thing too. You know, sometimes you have to kind of let that chemistry grow and kind of see how everything plays out. But you know, one thing's for sure, you're definitely going to get a lot of great basketball. That's something that we'd love to see. You know, a lot of competitive teams kind of bring some balance to the force, and so hopefully we'll get some good rivalries and a lot of good things going on.
Yes, it's going to be very interesting. I think if somehow Brooklyn winds up with Dwight Howard, they are a top two team in the East, no doubt about it. I think it's either Miami or Brooklyn. They're right there, and I mean, it may be 1A and 1B. I think they're right there with Miami if they're able to get pull off that trade. I mean, of course, they're probably going to have to find a way to sign some outside shooters in addition to, you know, having Joe Johnson. But I think they're right there with the Miami Heat. And, I mean, of course, LeBron James still the best player on the planet. But, you know, Chris Bosh cannot match Dwight Howard's physicality. And even though they're two different positions, you know, Dwight is a center, Chris Bosh is a power forward, Miami Heat still doesn't have a legitimate big man that will be able to bang with them. And so you would have to say that, I mean, that trade, what in my opinion, puts Brooklyn right there with Miami as being the best teams in the Eastern Conference and battling it out probably for 4 or 5 years to come on who's going to win the East every year, in my opinion. I mean, they're right there. I mean, I think that easily drops the Bulls and the Celtics competing for third place in the East if Brooklyn is able to pull off that trade, which in my opinion, I think it's somehow one way or the other is probably going to happen.
Yeah, it's definitely going to happen, too. And, you know, you make some good points, too. You know, obviously, Celtics are going to take a step back, you know, unless they get, like, unless they get a lot younger. And, you know, you keep hearing the rumors. I don't think that Ray Allen's going to re-sign. But, you know, we'll see if they make any moves in the offseason, free agency-wise. And as mentioned, you know, obviously Chicago's taking a step back. But, you know, I like the pickup of Marcus Teague in the draft. So that's a good pickup for them, too. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out, too. You know, obviously – there's been a lot of rumors as far as what they're going to do, too. So, you know, as much as it sounds weird saying the Brooklyn Nets, I still think there's got to be some chemistry things going on, too. I don't think that one player solves it all. It definitely makes them tough. You know, like I said, unless you're, like you mentioned earlier before the call, it takes a unique chemistry thing to have a team come together and win a championship in that first year. So there's going to be some time for them to gel, kind of get to know each other. You know, I do like the makeup. I'm not going to lie.
Yes. You know, they're probably going to take a few lumps. You know, next year we're going back to a full 82-game schedule as well. So
yeah,
They'll have the whole season to play that. They'll have training camp. They'll have more time in between games or practices. And so they'll have time throughout the year, you know, to gel. And I think by the end of next season, you know, they'll be better and better at that point. You know, even Miami Heat, their big three, their first year together, as you saw, the season went along, they got better. They made it to the finals. They lost to the Mavericks. But by the end of the year, that team was just, you know, playing a lot better than they were early in the season. So you're right, it does take time to gel. And but I would think that probably the same transition will happen with Brooklyn. And I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, don't realize this, but basketball, that's still the two most important positions in basketball is point guard and center. And what's really weird, what makes this Brooklyn trade so intriguing is that Brooklyn will have Deron Williams and Dwight Howard at the two most important positions. Miami's big three does not include a point guard or a center.
Hmm.
It's a small forward, shooting guard, or power forward. And so that's what makes this Brooklyn thing a little scary, because you're getting a legitimate point guard, you're getting yourself a legitimate center. Those are still the two most important positions in basketball. And you can make a case where LeBron James can pretty much play any position, and he's almost like a point forward. So that is true. You know, he can control the game from just about any spot on the floor. So, I mean, his skills kind of, you know, offsets that a little bit, but you still don't have a center. And so that's what makes this Brooklyn thing a little scary, and I think that's why I say, you know, you have to say they're right up there competing for the East if they find a way to get Dwight Howard.
Now, if you're Chris Paul, are you going to Brooklyn, or are you kind of like looking for a new team to go to? I mean, obviously you don't want to compete with, you know, Deron. You want to kind of run your own team, right? That's what I would think, correct?
Yeah, well, no way he's going to Brooklyn. I mean, that's not going to happen. I mean, not with Deron Williams there. And plus, Brooklyn won't have the salary cap money to spend now, you know, and I don't think he'll be in New York either. And so there'll be some teams. You know, he didn't. The Clippers just offered him a 3-year, $60 million deal. He turned that down. I think he wants to wait and see what the Clippers do this year. and kind of make a decision next year. Now, the Clippers just acquired Lamar Kardashian from the Dallas Mavericks, and they sent Mo Williams to Utah. And it looks like the Clippers are going to also acquire Jamal Crawford with a three-year, $15 billion deal. And so those are some nice pieces. I mean, you have to – I'm not sure if that's, those are pieces that will get them over the hump, but those are some nice pieces. So I think Chris Paul wants to play this out next year, see how well the Clippers does. If they look like they have a chance to compete for a championship, I think he stays. If not, I think Chris Paul has several possibilities next summer, and including going back to the New Orleans Hornets, believe it or not. There's already some talk about that, that you know, he will be open to return it. You know, you look at a team with Eric Gordon, Anthony Davis, Austin Rivers, and, you know, they can go in and build a good backcourt with Eric Gordon. And speaking of Eric Gordon, he actually just signed an offer sheet with the Phoenix Suns tonight, or at least agreeing to a four-year, $58 million deal. But it looks like the New Orleans Hornets are going to match that from all indications that I'm receiving. And also, if they don't match it, they'll do a sign and trade and get some assets in return from Phoenix. But, you know, Chris Paul could be a possibility returning to New Orleans, could also be a possibility in Atlanta. And so that could be interesting as well. And, you know, Atlanta, if you keep Al Horford, you keep Josh Smith, you got yourself a, you know, a pretty good team there as well. And I don't think he's going to partner up with Amari Stoudemire and, you know, Carmelo Anthony in New York. It doesn't look like, it looks like the Knicks are going to use up their cap space this year. They're not going to save it for Chris Paul. So I think there's a few teams. The Dallas Mavericks will have a shot at Chris Paul next year. The Clippers, of course. I think Atlanta and New Orleans, those are probably the four teams. And he'll probably just have to decide which one of those teams has the best chance of winning the championship next year.
Yeah, and we have a chance to offer him that kind of max deal, too. So I don't know if he cares about money, too, but that's something we can definitely offer him. Now that we've cleared the books with Joe Johnson, we can actually correct the mistake we made a couple years back with Marvin Williams. Wow, that would just – my time machine thing is going to go down perfectly, too. So, anyway, we'll see how it plays out. I know I keep making
jokes
about that. Man, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll have to see about that one, yeah. But like I said, the Hawks will have some competition. Like I said, Dallas will have cap space. New Orleans will have cap space to give him a max deal. And, of course, the Clippers will be able to give him because they'll own his Larry Bird rights. As well. So we have to wait and see. And possibly even the Phoenix Suns maybe have some cap space next summer as well.
Gotcha. Well, man, we are flying through the show tonight. As always, we got about 2.5 minutes, like 2 minutes and about 20 seconds, Rob. So I guess anything we'll talk about before we drop in? Obviously, a lot of things going on in the NBA. And if there are any special moves you want to kind of highlight before we jump into the OT and talk about our other topic, because we always are talking about a lot of NBA stuff, obviously.
Well, just to our listeners out there, you know, if you're able to stay tuned for our OT portion of the show from 10:30 to 10:45, and definitely tune in. If not tonight, tune in and listen to it tomorrow. We'll be finishing up our NBA free agency talk. We're going to get a little bit of Drew Brees and winning his case against the NFL as well. So we got a little bit, and we still got a little bit more college football talk. So definitely stay tuned. If not, next week we'll be back on Wednesday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. in Los Angeles. And so next week we'll be back on Wednesday, July 11th. So stay tuned.
Yep. And like I said, this is the best time. There's not too much to talk about, but we always have fun. Definitely reading your tweets and getting your feedback too. So you know, it's the fun thing. We can definitely fill out some space too. So we definitely appreciate everyone talking in and giving your points and all the people that are following us too. Because you know, I got to give a lot of props to Mr. Ford. He does a lot of good job of updating and letting us know what's going on with a lot of moves that's been going on. Next week around the 11th, we'll be right in the middle of a lot of the deals that have been that are going to be consummated. Obviously, that have been going on too. So this is going to be a good day to talk about a lot of moves in the NBA free agency, a lot of fun stuff too. So that being said, as mentioned, as Robert said, always tune in. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/12thmansports. Obviously, tweet us, like us, all that fun stuff. And we have a lot of fun talking about the show. So if you want to give your feedback and your thoughts, definitely let us know. And that's what we're going to jump into. So, Robbie, any last words as we get ready to get prepared for the OT?
Yeah, feel free to tweet us some questions, hit us up on Facebook with some questions, or definitely call in. We want you to be a part of the show. If not, once again, join us next Wednesday, July 11th, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. Good night, people.
Good night, people. Thanks for tuning in. 12th Man is officially going off the air, and we're going to have some fun jumping into the OT. So, Rob, we've got a couple different topics here to talk about in the OT. We can talk about the ACC, or you still want to wrap up anything about NBA free agency? You want to jump right into the college football stuff, sir?
Well, that's a little bit more NBA free agency talk here I would like to address here. Steve Nash, of course, is a player right now that's making the rounds. The Toronto Raptors have offered him a 3-year, $34 million deal to return to his home country. And if Steve Nash goes to Toronto, it could be a very intriguing team next year. It might even be back in the playoffs. They'll get a healthy Andrea Bargnani. They're getting their first-round pick from last year from Lithuania, who by all accounts is going to be may even be the rookie of the year in the NBA this year when he comes over from Lithuania to play this year. And he was the number 4 pick overall in the draft last year. And he'll be playing his rookie season this upcoming season. And so they're trying to convince Nash to come to Toronto and kind of help them. And they also signed Landry Jones to an offer sheet from the Knicks today. The Knicks, of course, will have until July 14th to match it. So that's an intriguing player. Jeremy Lin Sanity is making the rounds, visiting the Houston Rockets on tomorrow. The Rockets are prepared to offer him a deal somewhere in the range of $8 million a year, 3-year, $24 million, or 4-year, $32 million. So that'll be interesting if the Knicks decide to match that deal. And getting back to Steve Nash, the Lakers are getting in the mix on him, as well as the Knicks are still in the mix with Steve Nash. So it looks like Nash is making the rounds, trying to make the decision. And another player I want to comment on is Goran Dragic. It looks like he and Houston decided to part ways, and Phoenix is prepared to offer him a deal somewhere around $8 to $9 million a year. So that would be interesting. He'll be going back to Phoenix possibly. So there's still some players out there that's making the rounds in free agency. Nicholas Batum, who I think is a very underrated player, small forward from Portland Trail Blazers. The Timberwolves just offered him a deal. The Blazers have time to match it. And Roy Hibbert, another big free agent here in this year's class, got a max offer from the Blazers, 4 years, $58 million. And so the Pacers will have until July 14th to match that. So a lot of interesting things going around. Teams all over the league trying to reshape their roster and see if they can compete for a championship.
And just a couple things. Do you really think that I was going to ask you real quick about Jeremy Lin. Do you think that the Knicks would actually get rid of him or not match? Because this is a guy that, obviously near the end of the year we had the Lin Sanity. Do you think they would actually let him go to a Houston, or do you think it's just kind of like a play to kind of see what his worth is on the market?
Well, I think this here, and I think, the Knicks are also considering Jason Kidd as well. Even though Kidd is up in age, I think, the Knicks are hoping that they can keep Jeremy Lin Sanity, and they're hoping they can bring Jason Kidd there to kind of be a mentor to him as a backup guard. So I think in a perfect world, that's what the Knicks are looking to do. But I think this, if the Knicks feel like they can get Steve Nash, I think they may go into next season with Nash and Kidd and let Lin Sanity walk. But that's only if they think they can get Nash. Now, if Nash is going to go to Toronto or the Lakers or somewhere else, then I think, the Knicks will match this deal for Lin Sanity, and then they will also try to bring along Jason Kidd as well. Now, the Bulls may try to get in on the Bulls sweepstakes, too. The Bulls try to make it in on the Jason Kidd sweepstakes. I'm sorry.
Gotcha. And I think it's interesting, too, because before we thought that Mr. Nash was going to head to Miami, but obviously with the growth of Mario Chalmers, that is not going to happen. And I know you mentioned a couple of guys. You mentioned Roy Hibbert, too. Obviously, I think it's interesting, too, because if you're Indiana, Chris Kamen, I think there's been a lot of word on the street that he's kind of eyeing that situation, too, because if Hibbert does sign with Portland, I think Chris Kamen is actually a target for the Pacers. So we'll see how that plays out in that front, too. So it's a lot of interesting things that are going on, too. And you got to give a lot of love for Steve Nash because he's actually getting a lot of offers for a guy that's I think he's still a great player, obviously, a little older at 38. But, if you can get, like, 3 years out of him, I think that's a great move.
Yeah, Steve Nash feels like he could play another 3 years. So, I mean, last year he averaged about 12 points, 10 assists. I mean, it's still solid point guard numbers. Not the elite mm-hmm. status that he once was, but those are still solid numbers for an NBA point guard. Getting back to Chris Kaman, he still has some offers on the table, too. Indiana has interest. Phoenix has interest. And, of course, the New Orleans Hornets have interest in retaining him as well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. I think Indiana is trying to put a feeler out on him. I'm not sure if Indiana wants to match this contract by Roy Hibbert signing with Portland. So they're just trying to see if they can possibly replace him with Chris Kaman. So that's something we ought to pay attention to as well.
Gotcha. Anything else you wanted to kind of mention as we kind of wrap up the – I mean, a lot of things that are going on, obviously, and a lot of things will be official next Wednesday on our show on the 11th. So I don't know if there's anything you wanted to kind of target. You know, if I want to talk about my Hawks one more time, I know I'm sorry. I'm just excited about this move, too. You know, a lot of things going on, too. I'm excited to get Devin Harris. Hopefully he'll start because a lot of people out here are thinking that Jeff Teague is the answer, and I don't think that he is – I think Devin Harris is a little better than Jeff Teague at this time, so – you know, I think he's kind of in a good place coming off the bench, leading that secondary crew. You know, John Jenkins and Mike Scott, will see those guys stick. But, you know, we'll see how what other tricks Mr. Perry has under his sleeve. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on Devin Harris.
I think if, you know, I'm sure the Hawks are going to make a few more moves. I'm not sure, at what level those moves are going to be. But I think if you look at the Hawks' current roster right now after the Joe Johnson trade, I would almost have to say that Devin Harris and Jeff Teague are going to be starting guards. You may just have to slide Teague over to the two guard. But I think the perfect ideal situation for Jeff Teague will be as a combo guard coming off the bench. He can play both guard positions. And I think the perfect ideal position for him will be to come off the bench. But I think right now, until the Hawks can get another elite guard, then I think you have to start him maybe at the two position to go along with Devin Harris. But I would agree with you that Devin Harris is a better point guard right now, so I would definitely start Harris at the one.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Anything else you want to talk about? Like I said, we got about 7 minutes left on the show to kind of jump into. You want to talk a little bit about some college football, and I'm sure you want to get your thoughts about Drew Brees and his little franchise tag agreement that you want to get the NBL. Yep.
Yeah, let's kind of move on, and we'll have that much time left, so let's at least try to get our little 2 cents on those topics here. The ACC, a conference that we thought was going to be left out on the day for this new college football agreement, the Big 12, the Big 10, the SEC, and the Pac-12 was looking like they were going to be the Big Four conferences in this new agreement, but the ACC actually got back into the game, was signing a 12-year agreement with the Orange Bowl. And basically what this means is this. If whoever wins the ACC, if they're not in a 4-team playoff, they're going to be playing in the Orange Bowl unless the Orange Bowl is selected to be one of the semifinal games in that particular year. And if the ACC champion is in the top four, then the ACC champion will go to the Final Four, and then the next best team in the ACC will play in the Orange Bowl. So it's a good agreement for the ACC. And, you know, there was some talk about Florida State wanting to leave to go to the Big 12, but I think this deal kind of quiets that, and a lot of ACC teams are satisfied now with this long-term agreement. It locks them into a major bowl. You know, in the event they don't make it to the Final Four, their champion is going to be still locked in to a major bowl and still give them a lot of financial benefits to the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Yeah, I like this move, too. It's a great move because you keep everything kind of in the South. And, you know, obviously the ACC has been taking a lot of hits. You know, Miami's not playing as well and not being that good in Florida State. You know, obviously these teams should be the top teams, and they haven't been the same over the past couple of years too. So I think this is a great move. We definitely need a piece like this. Obviously, I'm a Georgia Tech fan. So, you know, it's a good move for us to kind of keep that going. And as mentioned, 12 years, it's great. And, you know, even if that Orange Bowl gets that great deal, I think they're happy, too, if they become a semifinalist as well. They get that 14 playoff. They're right in it, too. So I think it's kind of a win-win for both sides, too. So this is what you want to hear. This is something you want to see, both sides getting what they want.
Yeah, then next year, of course, you know, you have Syracuse and Pittsburgh. They'll be joining the ACC. So, you know, that's going to be a 14-team mega conference. So this is big for the ACC, and I'm sure especially it satisfies Syracuse and Pittsburgh, who the Big East is just looking so weak right now in football, and they seem to be the conference that's going to be left out in this whole ordeal. They're probably not going to be tied into a major bowl after this. So I think the only way they get into a major bowl is if a school from the Big East makes the top four, and that's looking highly unlikely. That may even happen every once in 10 years or so that will probably happen.
That's going to be a tough for them, too. So like I said, I'm sure – it's still kind of young. I mean, with a lot of things, a lot of moving parts that are going on right now, I think that Big East teams are trying to figure out some ways to either strengthen that conference or maybe get another deal very similar to what the ACC have done. And like I said, I haven't heard any news about this, but I'm pretty sure if you're the Big East, you're trying to figure out a way to kind of add some credibility to your conference. So very interesting.
Well, Boise State is joining the Big East. So, I mean, even though that's kind of odd, think Boise State, you think West, but they just joined the Big East. So, I mean, that would give them a little fire, probably the best team in their conference. And as you've seen the last few years, Boise State has been sneaking up in that top four, top five, top eight. So, if they can keep their program at that level, they may be in that conversation here every once in a while.
Gotcha. Yeah, like I said, we'll definitely keep you guys up to date as far as what's going on with that particular move. And, like I said, keep an eye on what's going on with that. And I think with Boise State, like I said, they definitely are head and shoulders probably the team to beat in that conference too. So I don't know if that was I think they tried to make a move to kind of add some credibility, and I don't know if they actually hurt themselves too. But, time will tell. We'll see how that plays out. And like you said, they're probably going to be the representative moving forward in that particular conference.
Yes, no doubt.
All right, let's talk about Mr. Drew Brees. He won his franchise tag grievance against the NFL, and kind of tell us what that means. I know I think this means that he's been franchise tagged I think two times, and so I guess he's not going to be able to get tagged again if I'm hearing that correctly, but I'll let you kind of talk about that being a Saints fan and kind of what that entails for Mr. Drew Brees.
Yeah, so basically what happens here is the NFL was considering this as being the first time he's being franchised, because it's the first time he's being franchised by the Saints. But back in 05 or 06, I believe it was 05, the San Diego Chargers franchised them. So what the NFLPA did was they challenged that. So now they're considering this being his second franchise. And a player cannot be franchised no more than three times in the NFL career. So they're considering this being his second and not his first. So next year will be the last year that the Saints can franchise him. So it gives Drew Brees a little bit more leverage in negotiations. And basically what that means is, this year he's due, somewhere around $16, $17 million under the franchise tag. But next year, if he gets franchised again, is going to be in the $23 million range because of the increase of a third franchise. So you look at, even if he plays this year under the franchise tag, and then if he plays next year again under the franchise tag, that's $40 million in 2 years. So now you basically go back to the Saints, and now you say, hey, we can work this out for a long-term agreement. Let's just make it $20 million a year and do this long-term deal for 5 years, $100 million. And by indication of what I'm receiving, that's probably the parameters for the long-term deal. It's going to be somewhere around 5 years, $100 million. And the guaranteed money, I think, is what has to be settled. It's probably going to be $60 million plus.
Gotcha. So we're hitting the two-minute warning, sir. So I guess let's end on this thought, too, for Mr. Drew Brees. Why do you think it's taken the Saints so long to kind of come up with a deal for him? Is it, it doesn't seem like the sides are like $2 million apart. It seems like there's some serious issues that are going on. And I'm sure, as I mentioned last week, that I think it has to do with Drew Brees wanted to kind of get some financial security. It's maybe his last contract. And why do you think it's taking so long?
Well, I think, it's a complicated deal, and it's a deal that's going to get done. But I don't know if this is true, but it was an interesting, comment that I just heard over the weekend, was that one reason why the deal maybe is taking so long is because he can actually talk to Sean Payton right now. He's not on the contract by any team. And, he can actually talk to Sean Payton, and they're probably pushing this thing all the way up to July 16th to get him signed. And I thought that was an interesting point. It could very well be true. I'm not sure if that is the case. But it was brought to my attention over the weekend. And that, you know, Saints and Drees practically have a deal in place. They're just not signing it because he can actually talk to Sean Payton.
Wow.
So we'll have to see if that's actually the case. And not a lot of national people are talking about that. But it was kind of something that was brought to my attention over the weekend.
Gotcha. Well, like I said, we appreciate you guys checking in. We'll see you next time.